Bye-bye. I welcome everyone to the council agenda ordinary meeting for Wednesday, the 22nd of October 2025. All here, no apologies. Great large and an opening. So the show president will declare the president role vacant and the CEO will assume chair and call for nominations for position of president.
All right, thank you, councillors. At the time of issuing the agenda, there were no nominations for the president or the deputy president role. But subsequently, today, there have been some written nominations. Are there any other nominations for the role of president that councillors would like to nominate? You have some nomination forms on your desk. If there's no other nominations, then there are nominations for Jared Logie to be the Shire President. There are no other nominations. Jared, do you accept?
Accept. The
nomination?
Accepted.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Do I go to swear in then or not?
You would need to swear in. And I have a swear in form for you. I'd just like to read that out to take the oath, the Shire President.
I, Jared Wayne Logie of 25 Booking Street, Williams, elected to Shire President of the Shire of Williams, declare that I take office upon myself and will duly, fatally, honestly, and with integrity fulfil the duties of office for the people in the district according to the best of my judgment and ability, and will observe the code of conduct adopted by Shire of Williams under section 5.104 of the Local Government Act 1995. Thank you. Alrighty, so now we're moving to 1.2, election of the Deputy Shire President.
Mr. President, I do have a nomination from two councillors for the same councillor, but we should check to see whether there are any other nominations for Deputy Shire President.
Any other nominations on the table?
I'll take a bell under here.
So, Mr. President, we have three nominations for Councillor Panizza to be the Deputy Shire President.
Councillor Panizza, do you wish to take the role as Deputy Shire President?
I will. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, I, Bernard Horace Panizza of 546 Duwata East Road, have been elected the Deputy Shire President of the Shire of Williams, declare that I take the office upon myself and will duly, faithfully, honestly, and with integrity fulfil the duties of the office for the people of the district according to the best of my judgment and ability, and will observe the code of conduct adopted by the Shire of Williams under section 5.104 of the Local Government Act 1995.
Thank you.
Well, the staff are disappointed, Mr. President. We didn't get to do a secret ballot.
Well, yeah, so we'll move on in. So we'll move straight on to six. So confirmations of minutes of previous meetings. 6.1, ordinary council meeting held on the 17th of September 2025. Do we have a mover and seconder for true and correct, please? Councillor McNamara moves. Councillor C. Coucher seconds. All in favour? 7-0. So, I think most people would have read through the announcements from myself, but I just want to, before we go too far, I'll just go through the first one again, to again recognise that Natalie Major, for her 16 years of service as a councillor for the Shire Williams, and her support as a deputy president since 2019. We all know how much time Nat put into the Shire. I think she's going to be missed. But yeah, all the best for Nat going forward from here. Then I'll just jump into the second one. I'd also just like to welcome Heidi Couch to council and wish her all the best in the new role as a councillor. And welcome back to Councillor McNamara and Councillor Harding. Thank you. And we'll leave the other three. We'll just jump in and run through. So 8 matters which require discussion. 8.1, corporate and community services. So 8.1.1, works report, asset management and improvement. So that's just council's, the works report is being there presented. Do we have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Price moves. Councillor Panizza seconds. All in favour? 7-0. 8.1.2, payment listings.
Mr. President, the Executive Manager of Corporate Services is just circulating a revised payment summary because there's a couple of descriptions on the payments that were missing when we printed out. So the numbers haven't changed, but there's a couple of descriptors that are missing.
Yep. Yeah, no, already spotted on. Yep. We have a mover and a seconder for the payment listings in, please. Councillor Harding moves. Councillor H. Coucher seconds. All in favour? 7-0. 8.1.3, financial statements. Was there anything in the financial statements? Councillor Price?
Yes. Ignore.
Nothing in the financial statements? Mover, seconder. Councillor Harding moves. Councillor C. Coucher seconds. All in favour? 7-0. 8.2, Chief Executive Officer's Report. So 8.2.1, gifting of iPad. Over to you, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councillors, policy number C3.3, relating to iPads and tablets and the provision to councillors and senior staff. It's been recent practice that retiring councillors have been gifted their iPad, and this item to council recommends that in accordance with the local government administration regulations and council policy that the iPad used by former councillor Major be gifted to. The value of the iPad is estimated at something close to $100.
Councillor Harding moves the recommendation. Councillor H. Coucher seconds. All in favour? 7-0. 8.2.2, the election of committee representatives.
Mr. So this is a requirement, councillors, following each local government election. The ordinary election was scheduled, was held on Saturday the 18th of October. This being the first council meeting after that, it's time to review all appointments to the various committees that council is represented on. So we've listed on page 19, there's a list of the current committees from 2023 to 2025 and recommended committees for the next 2 years out to 2027. Tried to give you some sense of the scheduled meeting frequency. Some of those things do vary a bit across the years, but that's a good indication of when meetings are held each year by the various committees. You can see on page 18 the current membership of each of those committees. Under the regulations, the Shire President has the prerogative to participate in any committee and nominate for any committee, so make you aware of that. And it's your decision as to what representation you wish to have on each of those committees. And your decision as to whether you wish not to participate in any of those committees and not have them. Council can establish committees for any purpose. The one committee that you don't have any discretionary ability to create or not, that is, it's mandatory to have it, is the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee. That's a mandatory committee under the regulations. I have sort of taken the liberty to suggest that you do consider a CEO review committee, and in the past that's been done by the President and the Deputy, but you might want to think about how you want to do the CEO performance review each year. Most councils would have a CEO review committee. The practice here has been that the President and Deputy have met with the CEO, undertaken a performance review, that's been circulated to councillors. And that process can continue, it's entirely up to you. And also, I think an emerging opportunity and need for a council like this is that you might want to nominate specific delegations to a committee to deal with community benefit funds associated with renewable energy projects. That's likely to gather momentum in the next year or two. So you might want to be on the front foot with that and be clear about who's representing council at any of those meetings.
Right, so everyone's thoughts?
I'm happy to be on the housing one still.
I'll start at the top. I'll stay there. So Councillor Logie stays as his own delegate. Are you happy as a proxy, Councillor Price? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to attend.
I'd be happy.
Yeah, for his own?
Yeah, definitely.
I'll cancel Heidi Coucher as a proxy. I'll stay as number two unless someone wants to give it a crack.
No, Jim.
Yep, sub.
Jerry.
Good.
Yeah, that's a different order.
Sorry. My apologies, I started at the other one. Right, so we'll go back to the officer's recommendation and we'll start from the top rather than where I was. Number one, Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee. So originally that was myself, Councillor Price, Councillor Harding and Councillor Panizza.
I'm happy to stay on that one. That's going to change anyway, isn't it? There will be an independent chair and an independent deputy chair, which you will need to consider how we go about that. You don't need to make that decision today.
And then how many councillors?
So do we still need three or more?
We need three or more.
Right, so you've done that. Councillor Harding, Councillor Price, Councillor Panizza, Councillor Logie. So then we've got number two, Wagga Zone Delegates. So that was Councillor Logie and Councillor H. Catcher. Three, Narrogin Subgroup Road. Councillor Logie. Number four, for WDL VROC.
I'm happy to continue with that one.
Are you the guru for that one? Councillor Price. Do we have a proxy for that one? Proxy.
Give me time to work out what it is, but yeah, I'll put my hand up if this.
Right, we've got Councillor Harding as a proxy.
You also have the opportunity, Mr. President.
We can charge
staff or
other. There is in certain ones, I think. Yeah.
Mm.
Number five, Hotham Williams VROC.
This was formerly done by Councillor Major.
That's usually in the afternoon, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm happy to step in
and do
that one.
So Councillor C. Coucher, your main person, proxy. No one at this stage? I'll leave the proxy hanging for a while. Six, Plant and Road Infrastructure Committee. So
I'm happy to continue there.
We had Councillor Logie, Councillor McNamara, Councillor Harding, Councillor Panizza. Happy?
Yep.
Councillor McNamara, Councillor Panizza, Councillor Harding, Councillor Logie. Seven, Building Asset Committee.
Mr. President, I've worded this slightly differently from previous years where it might have been the Housing Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Just because housing is one important asset that council managers knows, but there are others. And there are other buildings that we probably should be pulling into that line and inspecting each year and having some oversight on.
Because I noticed it's meant to be done twice a year, mm-hmm. and we've previously only done it once a year.
Mm.
So would you sort of split it over the two?
Could be split over two, but I think we should be having some councillors have a look at our building assets overall,
yeah.
Not just our housing.
Yeah, I'm happy to continue there.
And I'm happy to be involved.
Righto, so we've got Councillor C. Coucher, Councillor H. Coucher, and we've had a staff member on it. Who's taken on that role?
Deborah Martin. Deborah Martin.
Obviously, she'll stay on that. Mm-hmm. And Deb Martin as staff. Number eight, Citizen of the Year Committee.
Yes, I'm happy. I forgot that I was part of that, but yes, I'm happy to continue that.
Yes, you're so happy to stick to that. Do we have someone else? And there's normally someone from staff on that too, is it?
Tanya Jahan.
Tanya? Thank you.
Definitely not.
Alright, number nine, South 32, Community Liaison Committee, CLC, yeah, who was on that?
Myself and Councillor McNamara was proxy.
I'll stick with that, I love going to those meetings.
Well, Councillor McNamara can go number one though, can't he?
Fine, Jordan.
There you are.
So, CEO, Councillor McNamara. Number 10, Newmont Boddington Gold, CLC. That was the same.
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah,
mate. Right. CEO and Councillor McNamara. Yeah, well there, Councillor McNamara.
Thank you.
11, CEO Review Committee.
How many do you know
on it? We can have as many as you want on it. But
it's a new one.
So. Well, we used to just put a what do you call it?
Put it out, survey out,
that's right, and collect them, and then used to put it all in, collaborate it, and then come back and talk to everyone, and then you see, see the CEO after that. Whether you still want to run down that line, or whether you just want to pull two or three out.
Run as more of a council thing, and then we then
collated the results.
Collated all the results and hand them out.
Yeah.
And then take it.
I mean, the Shire president needs to be involved. Like, if, as a committee member, you'd need the Shire president involved in that process for sure.
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah, whether.
Did it as whole of council, but the two president and deputy are the ones that meet with the CEO and report back.
Well, that's how we've been sort of doing it.
Yeah,
that
makes sense.
That's the model.
Yep.
And then if at any stage, well, then, you know, if we've got to be looking for a CEO or something at any stage, well, then you come back and then you pick your panel from there. Yep.
So we've called Councillor Lagi, Councillor Panizza?
Yep. And then number 12, Community Benefit Fund Committee, Renewable Energy Projects.
I'm happy with it.
So this is going to be the new one.
Is it actually happening? Is this committee actually going to get up? Is this how this framework? Is that how it's actually going to play out?
Well, if we consider the conditions, let me rephrase that. The expectation in the notes to the West Island Planning Commission was that the Neoen Wind Farm, for example, which now has planning approval, will establish a consultative committee to deal with community benefits, and that will involve the Bendigo Bank, and it will involve the Shire of Narrogin and the Shire of Williams, and potentially other community people as well. So you would expect at some point in the next 2 years there's going to be meetings convened to talk about how community benefits are going to operate.
So why the Bendigo Bank?
That's what the company, Neoen,
has nominated
to the West Island Planning Committee as how they're going to operate this.
They're not even in Narrogin or Williams. That's quite unusual.
That's what I would have thought too, Councillor.
Mm-hmm. No, there's one in Narrogin.
No, there's not.
There's not an actual bank, but there's representatives there.
Mm-hmm. But no Bendigo Bank in Narrogin.
No actual walls.
No.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that my expectation would be that within the next 2 years that there will be meetings convened with individual companies about how community benefits are shaping up. And I think it's prudent that councillors be on the front foot with that and be clear about who's representing you at those meetings.
I'm happy.
Councillor H. Catcher.
I'm happy you're on it, but isn't this another one? I'm just wondering how, I mean, I think, unfortunately, the president, I was wondering about the vice and whether the CEO should be could be doing some big numbers here.
They may stipulate the setup of the committee going forward. We may actually have no input. We might only allow to have one. You don't know.
We're going to go to the table fighting though, to get as much as we can, and it's a big deal, in my opinion. Yeah, we're talking $50,000 a minute. Yeah, it's a whoever goes to that, whoever goes on that committee has to really be able to fight for the best interests of our community if it's going to happen. So I think it's a CEO, president, deputy, and
councillor. Councillor.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah.
Oh,
okay. That's all you happy with that, Councillor Panizza?
Yep.
Okay, we'll give us five. Do we need any other committees added to that? We're going to let Will Evan Roadwise out.
Yes, council made a decision on that already, previously.
Righto. So we need an absolute majority to pass the officer's recommendation that council appoint elected members and staff to those committees as listed below. Councillor Price moves, Councillor C. Coucher seconds. Now all in favour? 7-0, absolute majority passed.
Good.
8.2.3, review policy manual.
That's the Panizza's favourite.
And everyone's done their reading.
I'm intrigued.
Over to you, Mr. CEO.
President, councillors, this matter was deferred from the September council meeting where we presented the review of the policy manual. I was carried forward to this meeting to give councillors more time to consider it, given that it's something like 120 pages. Council's required to review policies each year and we're required to certify that that's been done. We do that in our compliance audit, which is completed in March each year. So that question is always, we're always asked to certify that we have reviewed the policies. There is one policy that council adopted at the last meeting that is not in the draft manual, and that is about equitable access to council facilities, which council adopted specifically because we required that for the grant that we're receiving for the indoor court from the Australian government. So when we were looking at that grant and reporting and doing our monthly report on how we're progressing with that project, it was pointed out to us that we didn't have a policy to their satisfaction in that regard. So that policy will need to be added to the policy manual because we adopted it as a council in September a month ago. Apart from that, we've made no further changes to the policy manual that was circulated a month ago. I should also mention that council has the ability to create, amend, or cancel policies at any time it chooses. So you can do that by decision at council. So you don't have to do it yearly, but for convenience, and to make sure that we've not missed reviewing any policies, the practice of Charlotte Williams seems to have been that council's reviewed it en bloc at least once a year. Subsequent to this meeting, if you pass the policy manual, then staff will take out all of the edits to have a clean version and insert that policy on equitable access into the manual.
Councillor Seacoucher.
Sorry, on page 21, it's been highlighted every 2 years a survey is to be undertaken, and then you've got highlighted every 4 years. I just wondered why that was highlighted. Did you have a question about that? Or?
Page 21.
Yeah, I've got it highlighted on the policy.
Oh, in your policy.
In the policy?
In the policy manual.
It's highlighted. I just wondered why.
Maybe it was just to draw our attention. Tanya, have you got it open?
What policy number?
Yeah, what page? 01.8, community engagement policy.
Formatted by Peter Stubbs.
Thank you, Councillor Panizza. don't have it up in front of me at the moment, but from what you've just said, Councillor Couch, I'm assuming that it's highlighted to draw our attention to it because there might have been an inconsistency on the 2 and 4 years. Is that?
I think it's all to do with strategic community planning. So it's sort of saying every 2 years you might do a community survey, but every 4 years you need to have a more structured workshops, really knuckle down, but you can do a smaller one in the in-between years. That's probably why it's been highlighted.
Yeah.
I just wondered why it was highlighted. Is that a query to it, or do we need to change
I think that let matters highlighted, we need to draw our attention to it to make sure there's no inconsistencies or that sort of thing.
There's a few minor grammar errors, and that we'll just pass on.
Have you passed them on?
No, I haven't, but I think rather than run through them in this meeting, we'll just...
I'll write a list out.
All right, so happy otherwise?
Yeah.
Mover and a seconder.
Sorry, can I just ask first before... also, I guess the guidelines about the... payments of accounts 1.21, that's also highlighted about checks.
Because you don't like checks.
Yeah, I'll
pick
up on that.
And the Freemasons, is that just a general local government ruling? I've never heard of the Freemasons. Is it Freemasons?
Very old policy.
Sorry?
It'd be a very old policy,
yeah,
I would imagine.
I just wondered, is it still relevant for now? Like, is that something... Because we do local government awards, is that not similar? No, it's just inviting...
Freeman of the Shire.
Yeah.
That is entirely at council discretion. It's a common thing that many local governments would do.
Mm-hmm.
And they, it's a symbolic gesture, recognising someone's long-serving contribution to the community. Not necessarily a councillor or a former councillor, but... a citizen that councillor might want to recognise in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obligatory, but it could be removed if council saw fit, but you've got it in there as an option if you ever choose to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just had never heard of it, so I just wasn't sure if that was something that we had to have in there as part of local government.
No, it's not required. It, through you, Mr. President, it's a little bit like akin to sort of giving someone the keys to the city, recognising them in that way.
Do Williams have any?
No.
No.
Doesn't appear that it's ever been used in Williams.
No. Mover and a seconder for officer's recommendation to adopt the policy manual as presented in the report. Councillor C. Coucher moves. Councillor Price seconds. All in favour? 7-0, which would be an absolute majority. 8.2.4, disposal of assets. You know, the food van. I don't think it's the Shires to dispose of, is it?
It's the Lions Club, but then they did give it to us.
It's on our asset register.
There's lots of things on your asset register. I don't think the Lions Club will come after you.
Does the expo want to bring one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Surely someone will
settle
it up.
Yeah.
It's very functional still, isn't it?
Yep.
What's the disposal process?
Advertise it locally.
Locally,
yeah. for tender.
So we don't press cardboard anymore?
No, apparently we don't, and the machine was rarely used, and the cardboard just goes into a skip bin and is collected by Avon Waste and then recycled from there. But to start pressing it, it's just more labour.
We got it with funding.
Well, it actually gives the person up there something to do rather than sit in the office. But
it was purchased with funding in order to reduce the amount of bulk of cardboard. Don't know who'd buy it.
Maybe the disposed. Mover and a second for officer's recommendation. Yeah. Councillor Harding moves. Councillor H. Coucher seconds. All in favour? 7-0. 8.2.5. Record keeping plan 2025-2030 draft.
Mr. President, councillors, the Shire's been allowed an extension to the review of its record keeping plan for several years. And we are due to report back to the State Records Commission on our record keeping plan this month by the end of October. So there's a compliance matter outstanding. The record keeping plan describes how the Shire goes about managing its records, both digital and electronic, and in hard copy. So it is important that there's a document that describes that and is publicly available. Things have moved quite a way since the plan was last reviewed, so this is not just a simple rubber stamping of the past plan because we're digitising more. Very little mail comes in hard form to the Shire. Most of it is coming in by email and electronic means and drop boxes. We're about to go through an ERP process as well. That's going to change the way in which records are managed as well. So there's been quite a lot of change in the last 4 years, and there will be in the next few years as well. So there's been a fairly major rewrite of the record keeping plan that's been circulated to you to try and reflect where we're at and where we're going with records management.
So we no longer have to keep a hard copy of anything, it's all digital and that's enough?
We still have hard copies of a variety of things, original contracts, some employment records, so there are hard copies, but routinely staff scan everything, so there's an electronic copy as well. Mm-hmm. That's been tested, so about 8 months ago we had our IT provider do what's called a business continuity test. So that involves shutting down the server, shutting down where our records are kept, and then pulling them back off the cloud and replicating it and reinstating it. So we know from that testing that that worked. So, and that's part of disaster management. So if this building caught on fire, we lost all of our hard records, for example, what would we do? Where would our copies be? And so we know that we could set up in another location and duplicate all of our records within 72 hours. That's what our business continuity showed. So that would mean, for example, if this building burnt down, hiring a whole heap of new laptops, photocopier, setting up in a different building potentially, and the Shire would be fully operating within 72 hours elsewhere. That's the advantage of digitisation and having a cloud storage arrangement. So the plan describes where our cloud storage is. It's in Perth and Melbourne. It's in servers and warehouses, data centres in those two locations. So there are duplicate copies in two cities.
That's
one of the biggest risks we have, that we talk about fire and we talk about other things, other risks, but probably cyber security is probably the biggest risk in this day and age. There was a fire, I believe, years ago. I understand that some Shire records were stored off-site and there was a fire and we lost some records, but I think we're going back 40, 50 years ago. So that's always a risk with hard copies. But yeah, so I'm sure Jenna or Tanya would attest to that staff routinely scan everything.
Mm-hmm. It's much easier.
Yeah.
Much easier.
Mover and seconder for the recommendation. Councillor McNamara moves. Councillor C. Coucher seconds. All in favour. 7-0. 8.2.6, use of common seal of decisions under delegated authority.
Might be a couple of declarations here, potentially, Mr. President.
Anyone got a declaration?
Number two rings a bell.
Yep, definitely.
Not that I got there yet. He's 20 minutes. Sorry, he's 20 minutes late. Come on, guys.
Councillor McNamara leaves the room at 4:41. Declaration of interest.
Mr. President, that licence issue that's listed as a delegated decision, well, the purpose is there to authorise and manage dining on the footpath at the DiGiaccio Bakery. If we're going to have public dining on the footpath, we needed to have some sort of framework for that decision to legitimise it and to manage risk. So I had McLeod's lawyers, after discussing it with the operators of DiGiaccio, I had McLeod's lawyers prepare a licence, and that's been executed to deal with it. Particularly because it's on the Albany Highway, so it's a fairly major thoroughfare.
Councillor Harding moves, officer's recommendation. Councillor Price seconds. All in favour. Decision 3-6-0. Councillor McNamara rise back at 4:42. Point 2.7, register of council decisions and status. Nothing else in there.
It's really for public information as much as it is for councillors, Mr. President. It's a really retina.
Oh, yeah, 10. Yes. Jumping ahead, see? Mervyn, the second act for officer's recommendation, please. Councillor Panizza moves. Councillor H. Coucher seconds. All in favour. 7-0. Well, we've got 9. Elected members. Oh. Motion of which notice has been given. 10. New business of urgent nature introduced for decisions at meeting. Elected members. Councillor McNamara.
Yeah, can I raise that the CEO has been in contact with DFAS in regards to just the process in which by the disposal of DFAS assets has been operating. We had a meeting with DFAS as we, some of us, you were there, President was there, and then our ex-CEO a few years ago, and the Commissioner. They've just made certain commitments to our community, which probably have waned a little bit over the last few years. And now we start questioning the disposal of assets. We've just gone through a process of buying a couple of fast attack vehicles, and which was okay, but we're not getting, well, there's other assets available, and the auction system is potentially not letting these set up vehicles get back to where they should be as far as agricultural businesses or local shires. And I'm not sure whether we don't want to step on any toes and we don't want to get DFIS offside. But can we approach, without directly approaching the commissioner again, go through the correct channels and sort of just redirect that energy back to the top? So, hang on, we've committed to a certain amount of things as far as our community. Can we get some commitments? The commissioner of DFIS said that we could get 2 loan vehicles every year from there. Now, that is just back. We got them first year, second year, third year, we've waned out. Now we've sort of bought 2 and we're committing to buying another 2. Along with communication assets like Starlink, I think we cannot get good communications down here. And I'm just sort of putting it out there that maybe an email could be written. We don't want to step on any toes, as I say, but whether it's an email, communications go through and fight for the cause of the disposal of assets instead of going into the auction system at Pickles where they can be kept out of the auction system, and if you've got a rural ABN or you're a local council, that they go straight back into that, fully set up, lights left on them, licenses and fire tender, and cut all this argy-bargy stuff out and getting them stripped back where the fire unit's been taken off, put them back to work for safe, especially when they're locos. Is there any support, I suppose, unless the CEO can support that or talk on that, but or whether there's any support on council to sort of push that any further, I suppose.
Anyone else want to talk to Councillor McNamara's?
I totally agree with that. I think we've got to try and keep these vehicles away from the average person coming in and buying a cheap Land Cruiser vehicle. I feel that, definitely it should be kitted out how it was originally kitted out for. We're doing a fair bit as a shire ourselves to save them a fair bit of money. Not giving us these loan vehicles. We were meant to have one last year, but we didn't get it until the season was pretty much finished. And we are a shire that's got a lot of Albany Highway straight through the middle of our shire, which a lot of our volunteers are giving their time. So I just feel, maybe a little bit of payback would be good.
So I think maybe we should be writing a letter back to DFIS. And as I think I spoke at the last meeting, I think we should be trying to get Main Roads on our side and getting them to write a letter too to support us with the amount of fires over the last probably 3 or 5 years on Main Roads, not even just on farm properties or our back roads, it's more Main Roads, Albany Highway, Quindanning dwelling up. Narrogin Road, we've used all our assets to go there. I think we need backing from the other state landholders to further support, because we can go and spend our money building these machines back up. I'd actually really like to go through and see what it's cost us to do these machines, when we brought them out of the auctions, brought them back, and have the cost of rewiring them, putting the lights in them, doing all the bits and pieces we've had to do to get them back up to scratch and re-license to put them back on the road. Because if we can get them before they go to that stage, well, we've saved ourselves money by not having to re-spend all this money to do it. And you've got a machine that was nothing wrong with it in the first place.
I guess part of the frustration in this was when we went to our chief, Matt Kahn, Councillor Panizza and myself went to Downfield Day to buy the auction. I mean, it was a pretty active auction, I thought. But then to go and pick up the vehicles, and we went back to the Pickles Yard, there would have been another 25 units in the Pickles Yard, exactly the same. So they weren't all released. There wasn't 35 vehicles. I think there was, just say there was 15 fast attack units, whatever it was, probably at Downfield Day. There was another 20 behind it. So what I'm saying is Pickles is trying to maximise the outcome for them because they're trying to maximise their personal profit, whereas I don't think the government or DFIS probably really care too much about that. They're just trying to dispose of assets. I find it conflicting that they don't have the assets available to lend us, but there's 35 units available. I mean, there was plenty of units at that auction which had less than 50,000 Ks on them. So it was just a little... it was annoying to go back into the Pickles yard on pickup and to see 20 units in there, and that weren't released to the market. So,
Councillor Kowser?
So, when the units are released from DFIS, no longer required, is it DFIS that decommissions them, or is it Pickles decommissioning them before they're sold? Does that cost?
It has to be DFIS.
So, it's crazy. It's ludicrous because we've got volunteers, we've got local governments. So there's a waste of money there at government level.
That would come at a significant cost for them just to have the labour and then just to decommission and take all the lights off and do all that stuff when we're now trying to put it all back on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
With three of us present, the Chief Bushfire Control Officer at a meeting asked DFIS specifically, you would have all that equipment that you took off those vehicles sitting on a pallet in a shed somewhere. Any chance we might be able to get that back rather than going and buying it all new? And to DFIS credit, they did deliver it to Williams and said, here you go, here it is. And reinstall it at your own cost.
Okay.
All this is unnecessary.
Mm. I suggested to our CEO that, I'm not sure if we want to take this on as a community, but I would love to have all those assets delivered to Williams and we go through that process and run an online auction and just go, as long as you've registered with a set of rural ABN or you're a local government, I'm not sure what Pickles make out of it, it's a couple $100,000 and we put the ticket cover cost, make 50 grand or whatever out of it, but just get those units effectively distributed back into the system where they can be generally used for what they are built for. That would, in my opinion, be a fantastic service for the community. And in my opinion, that's what the commissioner, DFIS commissioner, committed to originally. That, verbally, he personally committed that. And the process is just headed off to the left a bit. It's run off the rails, and all I'm suggesting is we try and pull it back onto the rails and get it back on course. And it can benefit everyone. This isn't just for the Williams Shire, this is a bit more a broader motion to bring to council, but it can help a lot of people.
Has there been a conversation with other local governments in regard to this and wanting us along a similar vein that if you go in a pack it might be have more impact than just...
Through you, Mr. President, it could be potentially an issue raised the design and could potentially seek a wider support from the industry for it if we put it up as a design paper, that's one option. It was raised by myself at a session that Welga convened where local governments were invited to attend, and you could nominate. It was essentially marketed as a luncheon with senior executives in the public service, and you could nominate which department table you want to sit at. So I sat at the DFIS table along with seven other local governments. And we were given some one-on-one time with the Deputy Commissioner of DFIS, and I raised this particular issue about the fast attack vehicles, how they're being managed, disposed of, the need to get them back into the volunteer networks rather than having them dispersed across the general economy and the market, and then we've got lost more equipment from the firefighting effort. I raised the issue about the loan vehicles being unreliable. They're not much use to us if they're coming halfway through the fire season or not at all. But the Commissioner wrote back, or Welga wrote back and copied the Commissioner into an email to me on those matters and said that essentially they said it's not DFIS policy. DFIS policy is to dispose of them to the general market by general auction. End of story. I've written back to Welga and the Deputy Commissioner and said, I don't think enough attention is being given to the desperate need for more resource going into the volunteer fire networks. that we're not making the most of that, and the way we're operating now is a business-as-usual approach. That DFIS is not compelled to do that. DFIS can run its own limited tender to only the local government sector and bushfire brigades if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
They're choosing not to do that. That's not a government directive. That's their choice. So I pointed that out in writing to the Deputy Commissioner. There's been no response to that yet. But last night, after discussing this with Councillor McNamara, I copied that to the Commissioner's office as well. So the Commissioner should be aware as of today that the Shire and Williams views on this matter. So there may be some feedback from that in the next few weeks. There may not be. Not really sure. The other option is to sort of package up our views and case, the council views and case, and put that to the Minister for Emergency Services and potentially the Premier and say, listen, this is not about extra money from Treasury. This is about better utilisation of assets so that they are better supporting the volunteer network. Surely that's something we can all agree on that needs to happen. So if it does go political and if it trades through the zone and it ends up on the minister's desk, it will generate ministerials, and DFIS is potentially asked to justify why the situation is the way it is, while we aren't making better use of limited resource. So that's another option. But if it goes to the zone, there's potential, even if we attempt to suggest to other councils in the zone that we deal with the commissioner, it could well be changed. Other councils may have a view, there could be amendments moved to a motion, and you could find it ends up on ministers' desks in any event. The high probability it could. So it falls in your court as a council as to what you'd like to do. I did craft a potential recommendation to Councillor McNamara if you wanted to do that, and that was essentially that you communicate by letter to the Minister for Emergency Services and the Premier on this matter. And also, I think a second aspect to this was that yesterday DFIS issued a letter to all local governments saying that it would not support the purchase and use of Starlinks out of the local government grant scheme at all.
And the reason for that is?
No reason stated.
Communication is lacking in this area, and they come out with a policy like that.
That
is
disgusting.
It's quite staggering given the importance of communications for safety and efficient operations.
That's the only reliable form of communication at the moment, unfortunately.
I'll be surprised if that does not receive a fair bit of criticism and feedback from the local government sector and the brigades in Western Australia, really.
That's almost worthy of going to the media.
Yeah.
About
oh,
that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. Like that's
starting. No, it is. I do believe that it's a big issue.
Councillor Nara?
Yeah, and I agree with that comment. Not that you'd get traction there. It's just how we get the best traction. And that is still got me bothered. Do you get this out? We go to all the other councils, politicians, media, or sometimes do you just sort of
come work it in house?
Just go where the box is ticked and just sort it out. I'm not sure. Probably my way, but just go to the top and just sort it out. Just make it change. The bloke at the top is where the buck stops with him, and you talk to the right person and surely it might change. Yeah, otherwise if you go through the correct channels, I feel it blows up, you get opinions.
If you go through a zone, you gotta wait to what's end of November, and then it'll go to zone, then it's gonna be voted on.
Go to state council.
Then it's gonna go through. Nothing will happen until mid next year.
So we could call another meeting with the Commissioner of Emergency Services and invite him back or approach him. It might be better to say, listen, we would like 25 minutes of your time, 20 minutes of your time. It's not going to take 2 hours. This is 20 minutes, explain the idea, explain the commitments that were made, and we walk into his office and we walk straight back out with the result. That would be
probably my more favourable approach, and that way we're not getting anyone offside, because if you go through these other channels, there's a chance they're not going to hang on. You could have come and seen me about this. You know, it's we don't want to get anyone offside. This is not about getting the gap bigger between the Williamshire and Doofus. This is about the Williamshire's voice trying to help the broader state.
Yeah,
in my opinion. So,
yep.
That's how you go about it.
Yeah, well, that'd actually be my preferred option, would be going down that line rather than just making song and dance about it. But that's whatever council's views are on that. You won't get a result immediately, walk out of his office with a result, but no. If you've said your piece, then that's a good start. So, it's a hearing.
Well, you're going to get him considering right there and then to go hang on.
Yeah.
It's going to take 12 months, but or more, but unless it's a better, it's a quicker start.
Is it better to almost preempt them though, so that he has the chance to, or they, I shouldn't say, they have the chance to consider the option before you have an actual face-to-face meeting and then, or go in with the face-to-face meeting and then?
Oh, they're going to know. They'll ask
front before you get to the meeting.
You'll have to
well prep them before you have to see them.
We'll be prepped and started with that.
So we're gonna put that through as a motion to step forward, to go forward.
What I'm recording, Mr. President, is that Council requests a meeting with the Commissioner of DFAS to seek better outcomes in the disposal of DFAS assets back into the Bushfire Brigade network, and also on the potential use of Starlink communications for safety reasons to improve Bushfire Brigade performance and safety.
Sounds great.
Do you need to say in there that the funding for the Starlinks comes from the grant, the
LG
whatever it is,
LGGS?
Yeah, that one.
Government grant scheme.
Because you haven't stated that.
No.
Because you could go and do it at the moment, based on that letter. You can go and do it off your own back, but you just can't claim it through the funding.
Correct. Yeah.
So do we want to put it in there that they need to reconsider it going through the funding?
Yeah,
I don't know what people think about that.
Yeah. Starlink communications via the LGS.
Yeah, LGS. As an eligible expenditure under the L. Wow, it is.
Yeah. I'm sure there are many councils and shires, rather, that have lodged and requested Starlink communications via the local government grant scheme, and that is probably why they're reacting and saying, oh, no, we're not going to do that. Clearly, people are trying to fill the gap out there with communications. As best I can.
Well, are you happy to move that motion, Councillor McNamara?
Certainly. Yep, I'm happy to move it.
Seconder for the motion, please. Councillor H. Coucher. All in favour? 7-0. Thank you. Anything else we need to raise from an elected member? 10.2, officer?
No.
11, leave of absence. Anyone taking leave?
Don't think so.
Oh well, 12, close the meeting at 5:04. I think I opened the meeting at 4:00.